rest beyond the river. It's good to work. It's good to be busy. And as satisfying as it is after a day of working our jobs, that sense of fulfillment we sometimes come home to, we will have that if we work for the kingdom and we get our rest beyond the river. Thank you, Jerry. That was awesome. All right, go ahead and keep your thumbs and fingers in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we'll finish out this chapter today. As the Apostle Paul is trying to stimulate the church at Corinth to unity, there was much fracturing as we've studied all the way through the book so far. Some were following Paul. Some were following Apollos. Others were following Cephas. Others were following Christ. Just the fractures within that. There was justifying of sin within the church. There was fightings and disputings over the stupidest of matters. And Paul is trying to draw them together and to show them just what the true body of Christ should look like. Now, we've already read the passage, so I'm not going to reread it this morning. But we'll go ahead and we'll begin with verse 14. Paul reiterates again what he stated in verses 12 and 13. The body is not one member, but many. And he's comparing the church body, which we said last week was Christ's body on earth. He's comparing that to our human body. To our human body that has fingers and hands and arms and toes and feet and legs. And every single person within the church is part of that body. Many members, one body. And as we have seen all the factions that are within the church of Corinth, Paul is trying to bring that together. He says that the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I am not part of the body. It is not for this reason any the less part of the body. If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body. It is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. I have seen this attitude in probably every church that I have ever been to. People within the body who don't feel like they belong. They may not have the gifts that somebody else has. You don't know how much I used to wish as I was growing up to be able to get up in front and sing a song with the beauty of somebody who I've just heard sing. I would love to be able to sing like Michael Card or Michael W. Smith. But I'm not gifted in that way. So I would not want to get up at a concert and take the stage. So sometimes I've said to myself, well, what's the use in going if I can't do that. The church body is made up of people who sometimes are not comfortable, are not content with how God has gifted them. That's what Paul's saying here. It says that the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. If the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Paul's answer to that is, that's foolishness. You are still part of the body. Whether you're a foot, a hand, an eye, an ear. And sometimes this can be a matter of pride for people. Sometimes it comes, they want to portray it as humility. Oh no, I can't do that. God has not gifted me in that area. I can't do it. And what they think is humility is rather pride, because they're not content with how God has gifted them. I mean, it'd be different if I could sing like an angel and I didn't. Oh, no, I can't do that. You wouldn't want to hear that. Pride. Nothing more. But people will leave churches because they don't feel that they fit in. They don't feel that the gift that they have is important enough. And Paul says, just because you don't think you're important enough, that has nothing to do with it. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If every person in this room was gifted at preaching, and every one of us wanted to get up here and preach, can you imagine the chaos? I kind of take it back to as I was growing up. I grew up in a little Baptist church. The pastor was retiring. They sold the building to a Southern Free Will Baptist Church. Okay. Keying in on Southern more than I am free will. We stayed for about 6 months or so. They had this practice of having like how I get up and do a pastoral prayer. Well, they had all the men of the church come forward during prayer time. And the pastor would be up on the pulpit. All the men would be down here. And they would all pray out loud. I want to say in unison, but it wasn't the same words. Simultaneously. Good word. You can imagine kind of the chaos. Now I know God being who He is, He could distinguish each one. I understand that. I couldn't. As a fifth or sixth grader at the time, I was sitting back with the women who during this time were catching up with each other with what went on during the week. It was chaos. If everybody wanted to be a pastor and wanted to preach and wanted to preach at the same time, who would be down listening? Because I know if there was every guy in this room up here preaching at the same time, you wouldn't be able to understand one of us, and the women would be down here catching up on the week. Some of you catch up on the week now. Because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? If we all had the same gift, I loved Alistair Begg when he was preaching through this. He said, what if we were all heads? Every one of us was a head. We'd be sitting down there, and we'd just be little heads bouncing around. We couldn't do anything. We wouldn't have had the rest of the body. Now, the key. God has... Who? God. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. You know what that means? That means Jerry's important. Tom and Emily are important. Bob and Jill, Ryan. And I'm going to mess up some names, so I'm going to stop. But not that I don't know y'all, but you know how I am. Each and every one of us has a place in this body. Do you realize that? It's an important piece of this body. Whether you think so or not, if, and I'm going to put the precursor in here, if you are truly a child of God. Okay? No salvation, no worth to your body part. Does that make sense? But if we are saved, there is worth to the giftedness that God has given us. Because He has placed us just as He has desired us. This is a small body. I honestly feel as we are faithful to God, God will be faithful to us. I don't envision, nor do I truly want, a congregation of thousands. I want a body that we can shepherd, that we can grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. A body that the leadership is able to train up and teach and grow. If that should happen someday to where we're thousands, that's God's will. But hopefully, we will always be small enough to be able to keep a watchful eye on one another. I need to be able to know enough of you in such an intimate way that I can sense when something's wrong. That I can prod you in the way that you need to go. Because if you're a finger in this body and you are broken, does a broken finger just affect the finger? Tom, does your hand right now, is it just your finger that's affected? No. When we're broken, when we're not working properly, it affects the whole body. Because God has placed us where He has desired us. If they were all one member, where would the body be? If we were all a hand, if we were all a foot, if we were all a leg, where would the rest of the body be? Paul reiterates one more time, but now there are many members, but one body. Now, that's one part of the people in the church. Those that say, I'm not useful. I don't have any kind of... I'm not as good as Jerry, because Jerry can play the piano. That's one part of us. Let's look at the other side. Paul says, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Do you see the difference? You know, first we have the foot saying, oh, I want to be a hand. Part of the congregation. The other part, as we've got the hand saying to the feet, you're not a hand. You're not good enough to be a hand. How do you think that makes the foot feel? Not very good. And that's kind of the problem we saw at Corinth. You know, when we go back to the Lord's Supper portion in chapter 11, when all the hands and the feet were scurrying to get to the Lord's Supper first so they could have their fill of all the food. Then the little fingers and toes showed up. You're not a hand. You're not a foot. Yeah, there's a few crumbs left for you, but that's about it. When the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Now, what would we consider the stronger parts of the body? Those things that you can see. I mean, we've been concentrating on fingers and toes and hands and feet. But those things that are on the outside that people see, we tend to put as the most important. Tom's hand is giving them trouble. Tom could live without his hand. Be difficult, but he could. On the other hand, Ryan's spine has been giving him problems. If we don't see the spine, it's not showy. A little bit more difficult to function. On the contrary, it is truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. There are people making millions and millions and probably billions of dollars today, Planet Fitness, whose sole purpose is to do what? Dress up the outside. Make my arms look more muscular. Make my legs look more muscular. It's not my arms and my legs that are going to cause me problems. Not like my heart, my lungs, and my kidneys might. Do you see the difference? Just because we don't see them does not mean that they're not important. And Paul says, on the contrary, those weaker things or those less showy things are actually more important than those that we put the most focus on. We have churches today that their whole focus is on the showy things. They don't have a guy playing the piano. They have a band playing music. Nothing wrong with that. But where is the focus? They'll spend an hour in showy worship, and some of them may give 10 minutes to a motivational speech, maybe mentioning God, maybe not. If the music, I'm going to quote a song lyric here, if the music fails, we still have preaching. Many a Sundays we've had where we've had no music. Or you've had my professional singing voice going Acapulco, leading us in Amazing Grace, because it's a song that I can't mess up too easy. Remember those days? I do. Remember the days of the karaoke music? But you know what God did? God has gifted us with Jerry and Emily, who can provide a service for the body to help us in our worship. I mean, I can guarantee you that Jerry does not leave here after a Sunday morning walking out of the church saying, "Oh, I did such a great job." Not that he hasn't done a great job, but that's not his purpose. That's not his focus. His focus is in leading us in our worship. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. This kind of, when I started studying this and I read this, it reminded me of a scriptural principle that Jesus taught. Can anybody think of what I'm thinking of? Let he who wants to be first be last. You may not think you have a great spiritual gift. I am telling you from this pulpit, this in this church is a place of authority in this church, believe it or not. But I am telling you from this pulpit, if you are a child of God, you are gifted by the Holy Spirit. Just because you don't like your gift doesn't matter. Just because you haven't seemed to find your gift yet doesn't matter. We all do what's important to us, do we not? This body needs each and every one of us. God has placed you here for a reason. Now, over the last year or two, we have had people leave this congregation. I don't always understand the whys. And I'm going to say something right now. The only reason that you will ever have to leave this congregation is if this, from coming, the words coming from this pulpit are heresy and not from the Word of God. Otherwise, God has placed you here for a reason. Does that make sense? Now, if I start speaking untruths, then by all means, get rid of me and get somebody who will speak the truth, or find some place that will speak the truth. Otherwise, we are a cohesive body of Christ. We are a functioning body of Christ. I mean, we may be missing a finger or a toe. I don't know, we may even be missing an arm at this point. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. We can function to God's glory as we are if everybody we have functions as God has intended. Oh, but Pastor Dan, I'm just too old. No, you're not. Pastor Dan, I'm too young. No, you're not. Pastor Dan, I'm too stupid. Well, no, you're not. We can all function as God has placed us. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow much abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable. Do we always see the work of everybody in the body? No. Do you know what's said? And this is a sad statistic, but generally 80% of the workings of a church are done by 20% of the body. 80% of the work of the church is done by 20%. That's huge when you think of a church of 3,000. Let's use even numbers so I can calculate. A church of 1,000. 80% of the work is done by 200 people. That's scary. What are the other 80%, the other 800 people doing? Well, number one, they're either not true believers and not truly a part of the body, or they've fallen into this category of either being too good for everybody or not good enough. And who does that hurt? It hurts everybody, including themselves. They don't always see that, though. Oh, they just don't need me. Yes, we do. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. That heart that we don't see. That liver that we don't see. Those lungs that we don't see. If our heart stopped working, what happens? Our body dies. If our liver stops functioning, what happens? Our body dies. If our hand gets gangrene, what happens? We cut it off and we still go. Some of you in here, our hearts and lungs and livers. Have you ever seen a liver? It's ugly. I mean, we don't go to the doctor, get an autopsy or not an autopsy, that's when we're dead. Maybe some of us need autopsies. We don't go and get a biopsy. It's still an opsy. We don't get a biopsy of our liver and then bring it in to show everybody. Look how wonderful my liver looks. No. But it's still a lot more important to the functioning of our body than my beautiful face. And he's done this. He's made the most important things unseeable for a reason. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If I'm stuck on myself, do you know how lucky you guys are to have me as a pastor? Oh, you just wouldn't know how to function without me. I could be gone next week and God could place somebody else in here to do the work. But if I'm an ugly liver and I die, the whole body dies. Each and every person in this room, whether you think so or not, are a vital component of this body. I have heart pain sometimes. I really don't. Some of you have heart pain sometimes. Does it stop you? I mean, it's just a pain. I mean, I get a Charlie horse or whatever in my leg every now and then. I wake up screaming. It affects the whole body. Not just ourselves. So there's no division. If one member suffers, all members suffer. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Is that us? I mean, I think we did a pretty good job as a body over the last couple of weeks of mourning and weeping with Bob. Not perfectly. Wish we could have been more perfect. I think we do a pretty good job. Young Zach going to college, gathering around him, rejoicing with him, sending him off. That's what we all need to do. And then Paul just kind of closes this out. He says, you are Christ's body. Whose body? Christ's body. Who's put us together? Christ. God has. And individually, members of it. And God has placed this body together in a certain way. He says, first, within the church, there were the apostles. And second, prophets. Those that made the foundation of the church. We don't have apostles and prophets now. We don't need to continue building the foundation. The foundation has been laid. Then teachers, and miracles, and gifts of healings, and helps, and ministrations, various kinds of tongues. But Paul starts asking now a bunch of rhetorical questions. What's a rhetorical question? One that everybody should know the answer to. And the answer to this question, these questions that he asks, is implied no. All are not apostles, are they? How many were there? 12. All are not prophets, are they? They were still around probably at this time, when at the writing. All are not teachers, are they? Not everybody is workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? And notice, all of these gifts that Paul is laying out here, they're all the showier gifts. They're the gifts of the people who are up front and center. And even in those gifts, Paul says not everyone is gifted in the same way. I mean, what was the issue? These are the gifts that everybody wanted. Today, they are still the gifts that everybody wants. Paul says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. What does that imply? That the greater gifts are not of this group that he has just spelled out. There's other gifts other than apostles and prophets and teachers and workers of miracles. People with gifts of healings and speakers of tongues and interpreters. There are greater gifts than those. But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And Paul says, I will show you a still more excellent way. And that's what we will look at next week. The greatest gift of all for a believer. The gift that holds the body together. The gift that apostles mean nothing if this isn't a part of it. Prophets mean nothing if this is not a part of it. All these gifts mean nothing if this gift is not a part of it. And that is the gift of love. Love for one another. And we'll get into that next week. We're going to move quickly now into a time of communion. The Lord's Supper. We studied this not too long ago as we went through chapter 11, remembering the importance of what this is. Communion or the Lord's Supper is open to every person who is a follower of Jesus Christ. If you have been born again into the kingdom of God, if you have been adopted by God into His family, if you have bowed your knee in submission to Jesus Christ, you are welcome this morning to partake. The warning is to those who eat and drink of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. We then eat and drink, the Bible tells us, damnation unto ourselves. This is a time of remembrance of what Christ has done. This is a time of symbolically washing our dirty feet of the sin that we've accumulated walking this earth. We don't need a complete bath because Christ has bathed us in His blood. But walking this earth, our feet get dirty. So as we pass the elements this morning, will you take some time and pray? Get right with the Lord in your hearts. And then partake joyously this morning as we celebrate and remember what Christ did for us.
Let's turn to page 657, please.